Good morning. That was not very enthusiastic. Let's try that a moment. Good morning. It is a beautiful morning. The Lord is with us. Amen. Okay. Paya told me that she was here at 7 a.m. this morning. I did not know that Tongans got up that early ever. But I do get. Do most of you get up pretty early? Only a couple hands went up there. That's all right. I can get up, and I do scan the news. Did you see on the news? The BBC has a website, and you can check the news on the BBC. There's an event in Italy. It turns out that they apparently in Europe, when they celebrate Christmas, they like to set off fireworks. So some kids got a hold of some fireworks, and they were playing with the fireworks. As any of us as kids play with fireworks, but they were playing with the fireworks, but it was cold outside, so they decided to set the fireworks off in the kitchen. Oh my goodness, it was not good. You can look up the whole story. It's the headline says linoleum blown apart. There it is for you. I just want you to know. I want to remind everybody next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday night, our all church conference. Palangi Tongans, we're all joining together. We're all reporting. We're all voting on various things. Our district superintendent, the Reverend Jessica Rooks, will preside over that gathering. And we are doing it by Zoom. So we will try and make sure that everybody has that link to that. If you don't have that by afternoon, start calling us. Make sure that we get a hold of you and get you set up with that link. Last year, I set up a link to Zoom, and she set up another link to another Zoom. And so she was in one room, and we were in another room, and we couldn't see each other. So finally, she jumped out of her room and joined our room because more of us had that address. We're hoping that we don't go to the wrong address. Amen? That would be good. Other things for the good of the order. If you know anything about cookies, eating or baking or just looking at or decorating or whatever, take a minute, think about maybe contributing to the Christmas Eve after service gathering. And if you need some coordination with that, Ellen Doctor can help you. Carol Danielson can help you. I think, you know, we've got lots of people that can, especially some of us can help eat those. And so we're all set on doing that. Any other announcements for the good of the order here this morning? What announcements do we have? I don't see any. We need to proceed. Let us stand. Let's wave hello to one another. And let's prepare and turn to the call to worship as you find it printed in your bulletin.
Will you please join me with the call to worship? Let us hear what God the Lord will speak. The Lord will speak peace to all people who turn to them in their hearts. Surely peace, joy, and salvation are at hand for those who obey the Prince of Peace. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet righteousness, and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before the Lord, and will make a path for our steps.
So while you're still standing, grab your hymn note, turn to page 211, and we will sing, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thy wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us a path of knowledge show, and cause us certain ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, O come, great Lord of might, who to thy tribes unsigned and tied, in ancient times once gathered the law, in cloud and majesty in awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou root of Jesse's tree, and instance of thy people be. Before three rulers silent fall, all peoples on thy mercy call. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Please be seated.
The scripture for this morning is on Philippians 4:2-8. It's found in your pew Bible on page 187 in the New Testament. Exhortations. I urge Eudora and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The word of the Lord.
Melissa, give them your taper lighter.
Hello, everyone. This morning, Advent candle is a candle of peace. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace,
just those three is up, that's all. That's on me, Richard. Yeah, the pink candle is typical for the third Sunday, and the Gaudete candle, but your pastor made some changes, so you can blame it on me, I apologize. And also I celebrate for diversity, amen?
Amen.
Come forward, if the ensemble would come, please. Bring us hope. Lord knows we need that, bring it.
The good news this morning is that the anthem covers all four candles. Hey, can you hear me now? The good news, this anthem this morning covers all four candles, so we've had some confusion.
Bring us love, bring us
Thank you, gifted vocalists and directors and musicians. Prayer time, we celebrate the gathering this morning and the beautiful sunshine, but we do have concerns, and we see some of those on the back of the bulletin. Somehow I think my microphone just went out, Michael. Oh, you just muted me, huh? Just shut me out. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you hear me now? Is it back? I just went mute for a second. Any updates on any of those people that you see listed on the back of the bulletin? Want to just keep everyone mindful of all of those and mindful of those that are not listed explicitly but that need our prayers. This is a blue season for some, and some churches actually have what's called a Blue Sunday. And the idea being, when there's so much joy going on, some people are sad, and it's incongruent. It doesn't seem like it fits well, but a service to just pause and acknowledge that there are some griefs and that there are those that are in pain, and there are those that are not celebrating, and to acknowledge that God is with everyone. In our darkest of times, in our joyous of times, in our celebrations, in our songs, and in our griefs, and in our losses. So lots of those to remember. No other concerns. No concerns to be left to this one. Oh, I'm sorry, Colleen, please. Yeah, come here, please.
I don't look over at you often. I'm sorry.
My brother-in-law passed away this last Wednesday, so we're going to have his funeral on Friday. He fell in his home about 7 months ago and broke 3 vertebrae in his neck and has been paralyzed ever since, and then entered hospice about a month ago. So this is my dear brother-in-law who took care of my sister who just recently passed for 18 years after she had a stroke. He was her caretaker, so I will really miss him. He was my honorary brother-in-law. I was flower girl in their wedding a very long time ago, and he will be missed.
Tell me his first name.
His name is Larry.
We pause and acknowledge all of those that will not be able to celebrate with us on these holidays. And yet they are at ease there with the Lord, and we are grateful for that. By way of celebrations, we do have one birthday anniversary listed. Carol Ottenreit has a birthday on Wednesday, the 18th, is what I have down here. But that's the only one I have listed. Is my data system... Jim Latow is trying to get your attention, Mike, and I think he wants the microphone. Jim Latow.
Where do I start? My granddaughter, Carrie, has turned 28 today.
Terry is turning 8?
18.
18, close.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. Was the name or the age? No, Carrie's turning 28 today. There's so many.
Did I get that right? Terry is turning 28.
It's Carrie, isn't it? Oh, it's Carrie?
Carrie.
Carrie with a K. I guess it's a K. It's either that or a C.
As I've told you before, this is the worst place to hear what's coming out of the speakers. You don't want to get feedback. And I'm getting old and gray, and my ears are getting old. Amen?
Amen.
Others, any other celebrations? Holly Armstrong. Michael, on your right, Holly Armstrong.
Oh. Holly Armstrong. Okay.
I don't think we said last week that Colin's youngest, the littlest one that was up there, turned 2 yesterday. So it's a big dip birthday.
And that's...
And is this an appropriate time to ask a question? I keep seeing all these messages about the Christmas Eve service, but what time is it?
7 p.m.
Okay. It doesn't
Did I
say
not?
That on the bulletin.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, I was reading the bulletin. I'll look at the
website. Okay.
Okay, 7 p.m. And we will be, of course, virtual for those who are joining us virtually or on via YouTube. Richard Schneer, please.
Yeah, I'm the oldest of 5 kids. And today, the youngest of the 5 kids, the only girl, Leanne, has hit a big milestone. She turned 65 today. So... Welcome, Medicare, and all the good stuff.
65 to Leanne, correct?
Leanne, yes.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the next part of your journey.
While I'm here.
Anybody else? I know Paya had her hand up a moment ago. Is that right?
Yeah.
Michael?
Oh. I was hidden that way.
By the way, if you did remember that Linda made these little things for us for today. And in it, you see how it's supposed to go together? It has a little flame inside. I hope everyone got one. If you didn't, there's some more out there. Linda, thank you again. Paya.
I'd like to ask for prayers for the black sheep of my mom's children. My sister, she turns 39 on Wednesday.
And her name is?
Jean.
Sister Jean, turning 39. Probably Jay. Okay. Black sheep. I thought you were the black sheep, Paya. All right. Others. Other celebrations. Other concerns. All right. I don't see others. We know that there are other unspoken prayers of concern, and we lift those and we're aware of those. But if you will join me now, let us turn to our unison prayer, which you find in your worship bulletin or on the screen. This is the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence and meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord, thank you for joining with us this morning for this opportunity to be in worship. This journey that takes us to the birth of Christ on Christmas Eve, the celebration of Christmas morning. This time of jollity for many, the dancing of sugar plums and celebrations of children and delight mixed with the realities of life and for aging who look back and think on families that have passed. Lord, in this season, it is a joyous season. It is a season of giving. And we ask, Lord, that as you have inspired us to understand and to be givers and to give generously, that we share your generous gift to us with the world, that we share the gift of the Christ child born among us, and that we share the gift of love that came down, heralded by the heavenly host singing Hosanna, heralded by shepherds, heralded by the faithful. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we are able to focus on Christ in this Christmas season. This holiday season is one of many traditions and many peoples and many directions. But in its purest form, you guide us, Lord, to celebrate gifting to one another, gifting of our hearts, our love, our care. Be with us this Sunday and all Sundays, all days that come, that we might be the peace givers, the lovers, the people of joy, the people of hope, the people of faith, the people of Christ. Lord, guide us, inspire us that we might offer you. And hear us as we join our voices with all of your people in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you. And let us pause a moment as Colleen offers up Mary's little boy child.
Would you please rise for the reading of the scripture? Scripture can be found in your pew Bible on page 56. I'm reading Luke 3. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Excuse me, I lost my place. And the crowds asked him, What then should we do? In reply, he said to them, Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food to do likewise. Even tax collectors come to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one is who is more powerful than I will is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his garnery. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sandy.
Kiddos, come forward. Young and old kiddos. All age kiddos, come, sing, dance, celebrate, get a little movement in. God Forgave is the name of this. Filmed in Denver at the Butterfly Pavilion, I believe. I'm assuming that's where this was.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. Good job, you young people. Good dancing. Some of you didn't dance as much as others. I was peeking, but these young'uns show us how to do it, don't they? Only problem with that video, it's not forgave, it's forgives, isn't it? Is forgiving, continues, amen? Thank you, Stephanie, for guiding that wild bunch, reining them in. And I do apologize, this is the Gaudete Sunday, as Richard was reminded, the pink candle is the Gaudete candle in the Lutheran Church and many other churches besides. And I decided to go in a whole different, Linda and I were in conversation and I made a different direction, forgot about the Gaudete candle, to be honest with you. It's not a tradition that's strong in my background, but that's neither here nor there. But today, I hope you can forgive me and that we can find peace. Peace. This is, for me, the most important candle, except for the last one I've reserved for love. But peace is important. Peace is a big word. Peace is a misunderstood word. In the Greek, it's eirene. Eirene. You're not going to remember that. You can say it with me if you'd like. Eirene. But there it is. Now you know a little bit of Greek. It might be easier to know the Hebrew. Shalom. Do you know that word? Intriguingly, that's what you say to someone when you're saying hello. It's like aloha. Now, Nalu, Paya, you Tongans, does aloha mean hello or goodbye? Yes. Does shalom mean shalom mean hello or goodbye? Yes. But it also means peace. Shalom. You should know that one. Shalom. Come on. Shalom. Good. Not bad for a bunch of non-Hebrews in here. But shalom is not a word that is reserved to the Hebrew people. And it's often many things. You know, we might say peace when somebody's leaving. I often sign my emails peace. Not just to say goodbye or the end of the email, but to help me remember who and what I'm about and whose I am. Because you see, peace is a complicated word, and it can mean completeness, it can mean welfare, it can mean safety. And it's a pregnant word for today, isn't it? Look at the world. I remember at a certain point after high school, things had settled down in the world, and I remember thinking, there are no wars. This is a wonderful time. This was post-Vietnam. Most of us of my generation and older remember that horrific time, and we had enough of that. And at some point, everything settled down for a period of time, a short time, and it didn't feel like there were any wars going on. And I thought, I think we've grown up. I think humanity has gotten past that. Sorry. But here we are, and there are wars, and the Middle East is right in the middle of it. And the cradle of society, the place of Jesus' birth. And we could spend a year studying the dynamics of the struggles in the Middle East. Injustices and prejudices and feuds and religious fanaticism and wealth and poverty and all of the things that go with it. And we would understand if we've followed through with history that some thought peace was about conquest. Legacies of conquest, I think that's what Putin was about. He wanted to cement his history, his place in history with a conquest, and so he invaded Ukraine. I don't know why else he would have done that. Look at the devastation that it's caused, and for what? The maintenance of power, the financial gain, and so peace is an interesting word. We are about celebrating peace here in the United States, and we've gone through some interesting sociological changes too. How many of you have heard of the Me Too movement? There is now a reaction to that. We're moving past that in some ways, and it's changing and morphing, and now there is a church to movement. And it's about the abuses going on in some churches, sexual abuse, power abuse, all kinds of things like that. And sadly, this is in churches. Not so much United Methodist churches, fortunately. We had some bad times back in the 90s, 80s, and 90s, and our denomination determined that we would train and train and train everyone to remember who and what we're about and try and change that idea that power allowed transgression. I think that we're doing better. Other denominations haven't done that. It's not a blaming thing. It's just that there's no peace. Denominations so long ago, so often, would quite try and suppress that news to keep the peace. What a bizarre phrase, keeping the peace. In 1990, I led a mission team to Haiti. You've heard of Haiti, haven't you? Now, the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, and they are poor. In 1990, when I went there, the median income for a family, a whole year's income for a family, was $100. It's an island. They had beaches. They had ocean. They had the Mediterranean there. But they charged you a dollar to swim. And most of the kids on the island did not know how to swim because they couldn't afford to go swimming. Something about that just stuck in my craw. So here is keeping the peace, and churches trying to keep the peace, and it got out of whack. And peace is not always central to churches. Some churches, have we ever had any conflict in a church? Have you ever had? That was a joke, in case you didn't realize. Paul's writing to the church in Philippi. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind. To be of the same mind in the Lord. Apparently, we don't know all of the history, but it could have been that these two were feuding. And he's saying, I urge you to be of the same mind. In other words, quit your fighting. Figure it out. This is church. This is Christ's church. Let there be peace. And then he goes on. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women. There's a piece of that that is important to note. These are women important in the church in a time when women didn't have place, didn't have standing, didn't have stature, and yet Jesus has established a church, a new way of being that's equal. That change was a big one, and that change is still going on. The people are coming to Jesus. We heard it in the gospel lesson that Sandy read this morning. Jesus told people in power, collect no more than the amount prescribed to you. Do not extort money from anyone by threats or accusations. Be satisfied with your wages. Say, that could be applied today, couldn't it? How many different places have we seen people that have transgressed because of their power and their influence and their position? And so there was no peace because there is injustice. And it's important to think about that. You can force peace. When we were in Haiti, we had just experienced a revolution there. There was a dictator there, Papa Doc Duvalier, and he forced everybody to behave. In fact, if there was even a hint that somebody in your family misbehaved, the boogeyman would come at night. And then before you laugh, the boogeymen in Haiti were real. And they would come at night and take someone and you'd never see them again. Draconian. No trial, no appeals, no investigations, but just a hint of impropriety could mean the end of you. He kept the peace in Haiti, but there was no peace. There was no justice. There was no equality. There was no joy. Martin Luther King in the 60s was talking about peace. And he said, true peace is not merely the absence of tension, but the presence of justice. And what an important way to think about peace. Irene, shalom, justice. The gospel lesson goes on, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise. Some people don't quite believe that that has any legitimacy. That it's not appropriate to worry about that. If they've got something, it's theirs. They don't have to share it with anybody. I've met a few people who said, I earned this by my own hard work and my own diligence. This is my money. I'm not sharing it with nobody, no how. And I didn't lift it, but God gave you ability, maybe a strong back, maybe a wise ability with art or music or finances. And out of all of those abilities, out of that wisdom, you have managed to earn some money through the grace of God and through that gift. So now you have a lesson to learn, and that lesson is that sharing is what brings us closer to Jesus. Jesus narrowed it right on down to one simple statement, love one another. And that really encapsulates it. If you love somebody and they don't have enough and you have plenty, it's an automatic response. So in isolating ourselves, we're able to say, no, I don't have to worry about that other. But here, called to love one another, it's different. I have, since I was in high school, wondered about how there could be peace and how there could be harmony in the world. And I, one of the concerns in high school, people were breaking into our cars while we were in school. Some students would sneak out and they would steal stereos, was the big thing back then. 8 tracks. How many of you young people ever heard of an 8-track? I remember those. But wondering if everybody had 8-tracks, why would you steal somebody else's? If there was a sharing of the wealth, would there be any need for theft or for stealing or for crime? I don't know. I don't know if that's possible. I think it's part of our journey. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get there? If we could get to a place where everybody had what they needed and everybody shared what they had and we were all at ease with one another? That would be called the kingdom of God. And that is what peace is about. Paul phrased it in his letter, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. The Lord is near. I love kids, little ones. I think it's because mentally I can equate with them, you know. But one day, I always love it when kids have a sucky, you know, a pacifier, or they're sucking on something they like, candy cane or something like that. And I'll walk up and stick my mouth out. And a lot of them will turn away from me. And naturally, they should. I mean, as a strange old man coming over here. But I loved doing that with kids just to be silly. I did it one day, and this little guy was on his mom's arm, popped a sucky out and stuck it out to me. And I looked at it, and I looked, and the mom was looking at me like, don't you dare taste that. That's my... And I told the little guy, thank you. But somewhere sharing happens, and some places sharing doesn't happen. Have you ever noticed that? My kids go through phases where they're, oh, absolutely, everything that's mine is yours. And then at some point they go through a phase that says, this is mine and don't you come near. Is humanity doing that as well? Are we in a society that's still trying to learn that the sharing thing and the joy of sharing? I would have loved to have put two little kiddos side by side and wondered about this kid that was going to share his sucky with me, how he had come to that point of, he was more than ready. Sharing. I hope it stuck with him. I hope it didn't go home and his mother explained to him, don't you do that anymore. Because that sharing was, that was a gift of God. That was peace. That was celebration. We look around the world, are we sharing in everything? I don't think so. The rich get richer, the poor seem to be struggling just as well. And that seems like a heavy place to be talking on this celebration in Christmas, but if we're about peace, we have to be about bringing that around in the world. Peacemaking is what we're called to if we're to love one another. How are we going to do that? How are we going to bring peace to the Middle East? How are we going to bring peace to Russia and Ukraine? Any of you have any ideas, you give me a call. I'll line you up with some of the movers and shakers who have tried to do that for thousands of years. So does that mean we just give up? How can we come to be about peace? It seems impossible. But for God, nothing is impossible. Not for God. Everything is possible for God. I'm going to say that again. Everything is possible for God. And if we turn to God, we might be instruments of His peace. What a concept. If we join with one another over all of these differences, over all of these variations that separate us, and find ways to be brother and sister together in a world that doesn't really teach that, then we follow Christ and God works through us, and there might be a chance for some peace. That's what Jesus said, my peace I live with you, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Join one another, join, be vulnerable. Open yourselves and let the peace that you feel from joy, from the peace and joy you feel from Jesus be seen by all you meet. And may that peace be with all people. Amen. There's a song, and Colleen's played it once already in the last, month and a half. But let's stand and sing it together. Let there be peace. Let's stand.
Peace that was meant to be.
right, Mark, go ahead. Just throw my sermon on the ground. It's done now anyway. It's done now anyway. How do we begin to find peace with our neighbors? We first identify what it is we're holding against them. And then we turn to God that we might find a journey to join. May we be joined in Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Join hands. Let's sing our closing. God's people said, amen. Amen.